Hello and welcome to the Art of Selling Online Courses. We're here to share winning strategies and secret hacks from top performers in the online course industry. My name is John Ainsworth and today's guest is Gemma Bonham Carter. After launching her first online course about blogging in 2017, Gemma left her public health career and founded her education company, GemmaBonhamCarter.com. We'll put the link underneath. She teaches entrepreneurs now how to create, launch, and scale their own digital courses in hundreds of industries, including health, wellness, real estate, marketing, and more. And today we're going to be talking about why to sell courses, how to make your offer irresistible, how to choose the right topic, and how to absolutely make sure that your course will sell before you even make it. Now, before we dive into our interview with today's guest, I want to talk you through what you can get from us in terms of support for free in order to improve your course business. So what we do is Martina from my team has started doing these video funnel reviews. And so if you want to get your funnel, your sales page, your checkout page, and your homepage reviewed by Martina, then go to pimpyourfunnel.com and fill in the form. It's going to ask you for a few different details there. Fill it in. And we're going to choose, we normally sell these for $1,000 each, but we're going to give some away to listeners of this show. So go there and fill that in. And we're going to give away 10 of these this month to people who go and fill that in. So go to pimpyourfunnel.com and get your free report from Martina, from my team. Gemma, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming and joining us.
Really excited to be here.
Nice. So let's dive straight in. A lot of people listening have already got courses, but let's start right at the top. Why is it such a good model? Why would someone want to have an online course or a digital product?
Well, I think that the obvious answer is this idea of being able to create something once and sell it over and over again, and to have something that's a really leverageable asset in your business. Now, I work a lot with service providers who have built really successful businesses selling one-to-one services or one-to-one coaching, that type of thing. And typically they've hit this max capacity where they are, you know, booked out. They've maybe hit the limit in terms of like revenue that they can do with their business without turning it into like an agency model. And it's typically, I see them at this tipping point of like, either they're going to go to an agency model, but that's not, managing people isn't really what their dream was. And so they tend to make this shift into, okay, well, I've kind of conquered the one-to-one. Now let's leverage, you know, this and turn this into a one-to-many offer. So that's really who I work with across all industries. And it's really amazing to see the kind of light bulb that goes off once they sell that course for the first time. They realize the scalability and the revenue potential of this type of offer. Then it's like, you know, the sky is the limit and they're all in on this type of business model in terms of being able to give them really a lot more flexibility and freedom in terms of what their business looks like. I tend to work with a lot of women who are often with young kids at home, and the idea of not having a calendar that's fully booked out with one-to-one clients and just giving a bit more of that flexibility in their day is really life-changing.
Nice. So one thing I really want to get into that I know you help people with is how to make a no-brainer offer. And I think a lot of people believe if you make the offer better, it means just making the product better. So can you talk everybody through, like, what is the difference between the product and the offer to begin with?
Yeah, I mean, I think where I always start with my students is just really deeply understanding the problem that they solve for their ideal client. And I think a lot, what trips a lot of people up is they initially start to think about, well, what's my niche or what's my target audience? And they start to define their target audience by demographics, when really we need to just define the problem. And it doesn't really matter if I serve like a man in his 70s versus, you know, a woman from Texas who's 22, if they're experiencing the same problem, they might be attracted to my program. And so those demographics don't really matter. So we really start with understanding what is the problem, what's the unique way you solve that problem, and how can we message that in a really clear way to attract in those ideal clients. So that's kind of step number one. But then once we understand that, what I really like to get into is something that I've sort of called the bucket system. And it's really just a methodology to kind of make sure that you have put together an offer package that is going to resonate with different types of learners, different types of buyers, and be fairly well-rounded. And let me, if it's okay, if I just dive right into this, there are five buckets. Okay. So there are five buckets. And essentially the idea is when you're putting together that course offer, you just need to ask yourself, do I have at least one item from each bucket? And if the answer is yes, then what you inherently have done is put together that something that's really well-rounded and compelling and is going to be attractive to multiple different types of buyers. So bucket number one are your teaching assets. This is probably what most people think of when they think about selling a course. It's like the video or audio lessons, transcripts, masterclasses, expert interviews, workshops, how-to tutorials, all of those teaching type things go in bucket number one. It's your core teaching content. You probably already had this sort of down pat when you were thinking about creating your course. Bucket number two are the digital assets. And so this is going to be any digital download that can accompany the lesson. These might be PDFs, workbooks, ebooks, guides, planners, roadmaps, worksheets, things that are going to allow someone to really learn the material in a slightly different way than just consuming it via video or audio. That's bucket two. Bucket three is my personal favorite. It's why I buy programs. And so I'm like the buyer who looks for bucket three. And these are the shortcuts. And so these are like tools that are going to help your students implement the content faster. So these might be slide deck templates, graphic templates, fillable spreadsheets, calendars, like one-click install stuff, you know, whether it like relates to a piece of software, any copy-paste processes, toolkits, checklists, calculators, assessment tools, things like that. Anything that you can give them. So you've given them the knowledge in bucket one. This is like bucket three to just make the action taking much easier and faster for them. And I don't know, those of you who are listening, if you're like a person who's attracted to those types of shortcuts, like that's why I buy programs. I'm a definite bucket number three kind of girl. Bucket number four is the
Wait. Just before you go on.
Yes.
Do you like memorize at some point all of those things in a row?
Like that I just said.
Roadmaps, planners, you know, like, do you have, can like, you do you always say it the same way?
No, but can you tell that I've said it a few times before? This is not a new concept that I've been teaching.
I once had this sales job out in the States, and I was selling these books, and they were for helping with the homework, and they covered 67 different subjects. And so I memorized all 67 subjects so that I could do this little spiel at the end. I'd be like, I'd show them the math section. I'd show them the English section. But these books don't just cover maths. They don't just cover English. They cover math, the sciences, physics, biology, chemistry. They cover geography, history. Right. Just listed off this whole, and it sounded like the way you're doing it. You're like, one day you're just like, right, I'm going to memorize this stuff, you know?
Well, I don't have it memorized. However, this is not my first rodeo at explaining the concept. So,
okay. I want to do a recap of where we're up to. Before you do bucket four, I want to do a recap of where we're up to. Check I've understood. So number one's the lessons.
Yeah.
Like mostly going to be video lessons where someone goes through and explains the concepts, explains the idea. Most people have got that. That's great. Number two was digital assets. Was that right?
Yeah. So basically taking the same content that you've probably taught in the lesson, but providing it in more of a like downloadable, readable kind of way. Maybe not just a transcript. We're actually giving them, maybe it's an ebook or a roadmap or something like that. Think about the people who like to, you know how we always have students who are going to like print out all the material and put it in like a binder? Mm. It's for those students who want like a physical thing to kind of like look at and go through.
Got it. Okay, cool. So some people are auditory learners, some are visual, some are kinesthetic. So it's like we just want to make sure the material's in different formats for like I buy online courses and then I go for a walk and listen to them.
Right.
And people are like, oh, but couldn't you like get an audio book of that around that topic? I'm like, they're never as good. Courses are better than audiobooks, but I learn best when I'm walking. So it's like, okay, what's the way someone's going to take it in? Let's make it available for those people.
Totally. And the person who's like a visual learner would never do that, right? They need to see the slides and they need to watch someone like go through the material.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, number three is the quick start stuff. So that's the templates, the swipe files. Maybe it's a spreadsheet that you put something in and it auto-populates, or exactly. is it a computer program that goes with it or something like that.
Yeah.
Love it.
And I think the reason why I love that is because I'm very limited in the amount of like work hours I have. I've got young kids, like I work within certain parameters. And if you can give me back some time, that I'm here for that. So that's nice. Often why I buy things is for that.
Okay. Do you include that as part of the main course, or do you break those out as bonuses, or am I getting too far ahead here?
No, good question. Any of these can be broken out as bonuses. I think okay. it's just important to have the mix there. How you present them kind of doesn't matter, mm-hmm. you know, but as long as you've sort of hit on each of these categories.
Got it. Cool. Please.
Okay.
I'll bucket no more questions. Four. Bucket four.
Bucket four is the interactive component. So some of your listeners might not necessarily have thought about including this, and maybe it's not absolutely necessary, but with the types of entrepreneurs that I work with, we tend to be creating courses that maybe have like that group coaching aspect to them. So this would be something like coaching, Zoom calls. Maybe there's like a private Facebook group or private Slack channel or some kind of like membership component here. I know a lot of people who are using like Voxer access as an interactive component these days. One thing that we had fun with in last year was hosting mixers, like virtual mixers for our students. So it's really anything like that. Maybe there's even an in-person component, right? If this is a much higher ticket kind of program, maybe there's an in-person meetup that happens. It's really any of those interactive elements. And again, if you think about the types of buyers out there, there are going to be people who just buy for this, right? Mm-hmm. They want the community, or they want access to you or your team to get their questions answered. And so that's why we include this as a bucket. Does that make sense?
I want to give a shout out. 100% does. Absolutely. Yeah. I want to give a shout out to Coach Fox, which is a new tool from my friend Jody Cook. And it's specifically for coaches to do audio coaching with their clients. And so it's built with that in mind, and it works really nicely for that. I actually do coaching with Jody through her app, which is kind of a fun little
that's amazing.
Process. Yeah, totally worth checking out. Really, really good.
Coach okay. Fox.
Coach Fox, yeah.
Okay.
She is a big fan of asynchronous communication. Mm. So like, don't have it. She doesn't like to do coaching live at a set time every day. She's like, I can respond whenever I'm in a good state, and you can message me when you're in a good state and you've got time for it. And it's like, it's been really interesting trying that out.
And is it always one-to-one, or is there any community piece to it?
That's just one-to-one. Piece? That's one-to-one okay. coaching. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk to you a little bit about this part. You mentioned that community is often a part of this. Is it always, or do you sometimes see it work where someone might have this part done one-to-one?
Absolutely. Could be one-to-one. So here's a great example. One of my clients, she created a program. It's in the health and wellness space. It's around nutrition. It's around emotional eating. And it's something that sometimes there can be like shame around it. Mm. And she found that her students weren't really interested in a community. Like they weren't actually that interested in being visible around that or talking about that in front of other people, but really interested in getting her one-on-one coaching and support. So she simply created a program that had all the other buckets and the content in a self-study kind of way, and layered in a one-to-one element to the offer.
I found I was talking with my friend Andy, who works in the fitness space, and he helps guys with, I think, mostly muscle building, maybe fat loss as well, but it's like, it's a very, very structured system that he does. And he does it nearly all by email. And so he will respond to people via email, and then they have like a spreadsheet they fill in with, you know, what did you eat? How much weights did you do? Did you follow the program? And then he responds with what needs to be tweaked and what have you. And he tried doing a group session with them. So he sold it for more money. It's going to be on calls. We're going to do it group. And he's like, none of them wanted to be on there with anybody else to talk about it. And it was like, they didn't want to talk about whatever their personal issues were around the eating or whatever, you know.
Right.
And it's like, ah, it's so interesting of like all of these things are ingredients that you can tweak. Like, okay, you need to have something from bucket four, but you don't have to have it done in like this particular set way.
That's right. Really thinking about what are, like, rather than thinking about it from what's the model that I would like to show up and teach, like, yeah, it's important to create something that's in alignment with what you want to do. But the better question is, how are my ideal students going to best get results and design the program so that it fits within that capacity, right?
Yeah, yeah. I had somebody who came on the podcast before, I think it was Jane Sigalovich. And what she did is she would give people, she had six modules and she would give them a call every week for 6 weeks. And she found that people actually weren't that keen about coming on some of the calls because they hadn't finished the module yet or whatever.
Right.
So she changed it to be, you can have six calls, one-to-one still, whenever you like. Once you finish the module, if you need to have questions, you book your call. And she found people were happier because they didn't feel like they had to come on these calls when they weren't ready for it. And she actually ended up having less calls because not everybody wanted all of the calls.
I was going to say, I'm sure, yeah, there was like a drop-off rate that, you know, she got to sort of maybe have two calls with some people. They didn't need all six.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, oh, this is actually better for both sides. And so this whole thing is like, you know, we follow a reasonably standard model where we do, you know, group coaching calls every week on Thursdays, and people can come the morning one or the afternoon one. But then the way we adapted it for our guys is that they can message us anytime in Slack with their questions about copy or strategy or tech or design. That's the other one. And then somebody, our copywriter or our strategist or our designer, will get back to them straight away about that thing. So they get that part kind of done quickly as well. And it's like, it's just all, yeah, what does your audience need in order to achieve the goal, right? Like, how do you help people to actually succeed? Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's do bucket. Oh, sorry. Go on.
No, I was just going to say last but not least is bucket five.
Yeah.
So this one's shorter because it's, frankly, I don't actually have a good name for this one. It's like miscellaneous or other. And this one is, I mean, maybe not everybody will actually have bucket five, but it's a cool one to add if you can. And this is like, if you have an app or a piece of software that you built, or you can have whether it's like a special deal or a coupon code or a discount for a piece of software that people get when they're inside of your program, that is a piece of software that is integral to them, you know, carrying out what you're teaching inside of your course. Or maybe there's like a certification. That might be another example. So way back in the day, I used to sell a course about that helped bloggers create e-commerce shops using print-on-demand drop shipping. So,
wait, could you say that one again? That
was a lot in there. I know, it's a big mouthful. I taught bloggers how to basically start selling, like to set up an e-commerce part of their blog, selling physical products like t-shirts, mugs, art prints, that kind of thing, using print-on-demand drop shipping.
Got it.
So it's like they would design it, and then, but it was a drop shipping model. I had a company that I used for my e-commerce shop back then called Printed Mint. I got in touch with Printed Mint and I said, listen, I'm going to be teaching a course about this. I think the vast majority of my students are going to want to use your software and your business for doing their print-on-demand shops. Would you be interested in providing them with some sort of like coupon code or discount or something for them to get started? They were super excited because I was going to be driving a whole bunch of new customers their way. So they gave like a $50 discount for people to order some of their first, you know, pieces of inventory kind of thing to check out the products. And what a win for me that I was able to give like a no strings attached $50 credit to all of my students who were coming in. Same thing, I got in touch with Shopify because we were running, you know, our e-com on Shopify, and they offered sort of like calls with a Shopify guru, kind of like a setup call for all of my students as well. And so there was like a clear path that they could take to just set up this call with a Shopify guru. So that's why they fall under other. They're kind of different, but they really can create an incredible package, right? When you put all of these things together, it really feels like you as the course founder have really thought about everything that that student will need to achieve the goal that they want to achieve.
Cool. Okay. So we've got Number one, lessons. Two was digital assets, something that's downloadable, workbooks, readable version of the same thing. Mm-hmm. Three was a quick start stuff, templates, swipe files, resources that people can use. Four was something interactive, some way of getting feedback. So someone gets stuck, they can get unstuck, like coaching, group calls, Facebook group, Voxer, Coach Vox, whatever it is. And five is miscellaneous, which is an app, some software, a special deal, coupon code, something like that to make it easier in some other way.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. Then you take all of those, and to make the offer, then you might break some of those out as bonuses to make them, number five sounds perfect as bonuses. Number three totally. Sounds perfect as bonuses because they're not essential, but they get you the result quicker. So that's
right. Yeah, exactly.
Now, the next topic then I want to go through is how can someone be sure that their course will sell? Because it can take quite a while to make a new course. So especially now they've got five buckets worth of stuff to put in there, right? So
yeah. So this is where I teach a methodology based around like doing a founding launch. So the idea really is like we can do market research and talk to our ideal audience and all of those things until the cows come home. But unless we actually go out to the marketplace and put something on the table and have people pay money and purchase the program, we have no real proof of product or validation that our product, like that our course is going to sell in the marketplace. So as much as there might be resistance to this, and certainly when my students come into my courses and programs, they're not always keen on the idea, mm-hmm. but I always get them to pre-sell their programs before they create them. And so the idea is I've kind of coined this terminology of the sold method. And the first two parts of this method, the S and the O, like S is sketch, which is kind of like what we've started to do with the bucket system, where you're really coming up with not only the idea, you're nailing down that problem that you solve within your industry, really understanding, okay, what's the student transformation here? Like, how am I getting them from A to B? And maybe mapping out what that curriculum is going to look like. When we move into O and talk about the actual offer, that's really where the bucket system comes into play of like, hey, let's make sure that we position this how we want to position this. To your point, like let's have some bonuses that are going to really allow them to implement things more quickly, really round it out into a marketable package of stuff. And this is where like, I think it's best to create a sales page at this stage. I know some people will pre-launch a program without really crafting a sales page, but in my experience, we always like my students are always more successful with that long form sales page that has really done the job of positioning the offer and laying it all out for their clients to look at. So now we get into launching it. So this is the idea of we're launching before we're creating the program or delivering the program. And we've tested and experimented with different forms of doing founding launches. And still, we come back to this very simplified webinar and email-based launch that just works and performs over and over and over again for our clients, where really you want to get visible, talk about the program that you're conceptualizing or creating, get people to sign up for a webinar or workshop or some sort of like live teaching training that you can offer so that you can connect with them. Deliver that live class, that live webinar, where really does so many things. It's like creating that trust and connection with you and your audience. It's demonstrating what you are like as a teacher. It's demonstrating some of your expertise and some of that, like that unique curriculum or unique method of you solving the problem. Webinars really do all of that all in one, and then pitches the program and offers an opportunity for them to ask you questions. Like we've had people test with different things, challenges, summits, like all these different things. And by and large, the simple webinar still just works so well time and time again. So pairing that webinar with the follow-up emails that come afterwards and whatever social channel they might be active on, you know, making sure that they're visible on that social channel, we get them to launch the program and be really clear about, okay, the start date of the program is X, you know, everything will drip out at a certain time frame, and it's important to be realistic about that time frame with your audience. But I think that there's a really cool way to spin it where it's not like it seems like, oh, I'm getting something that hasn't come to the market yet. It's not created yet. How do I know it's really going to, you know, be effective or whatever? Instead, spin it as like you're getting in on the founding round of this program. It's the best price it's ever going to be. You're going to get the most handholding and coaching from me, delivered it kind of in real time for the students, and really turn it into an advantage that they're getting in on the ground level with you. And so going ahead and doing that launch, and then we move into delivery of the program where we're really creating the course in real time with those founding students, dripping it out, getting feedback from them. What, you know, what's working? What do they need more on? You're going to probably get your best testimonials and case studies from that first group because you're so in it with them. Right. And then afterwards, great, you've created all this stuff, right? Now we can like repackage it, launch it again, turn it maybe, you know, then move into like building out some evergreen components or a funnel and scale it from there. But that's really the strategy that we use with the founding launch idea with our students.
What's D?
Pardon? D was delivery.
Delivery. Okay. Yeah, so that's as it's getting dripped out is the... Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that? Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got sketch, offer, launch, and deliver.
Yeah.
I want to go back to why people don't want to do this.
I think there's a few reasons. Like one is that people just, it feels safer to be behind your computer screen, creating all the content and just living in your little bubble for a while before actually it's vulnerable, right? To go out and get visible and ask for a sale. I mean, I think there's a lot of fear that goes along with that. And sometimes it's a lack of confidence. So I think that can hold people back. I think also there's this idea that if we are buying digital products, people expect to get instant access to the entire thing like immediately upon purchase. And that might be true when you buy certain like digital products, but it doesn't have to be the case. And I think there's a way like in terms of turning it into this idea of a live experience with you versus an instantly available downloadable product. It's just simply shifting the format. Yeah, I think it's mostly a mindset thing that people get nervous. The other thing is, I know some folks in my community get nervous about, well, what if my kid gets sick and I can't produce the curriculum and drip it out in the timeframe that I said I was going to? Really valid concerns. So typically what in that case, if someone's really nervous about that, we'll go through the launch and having mapped out the launch timeline with a start date that let's say is like 1 to 2 weeks after the cart has closed, the course officially starts. And that tends to buy people some time to get like a week or two ahead. Mm-hmm. So they're never feeling like, oh my gosh, it's Sunday night. I said on Monday, I was going to send them X, Y, Z, and I don't have it ready. We kind of stay ahead of the game.
I got a friend who, she pre-sells all of her courses, and part of the reason she does it is because it forces her to make it.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, first of all, don't you want to get paid to make the thing, right? Like it's so much more, there's so much more incentive there for you to actually create the product. And I think the worst thing is like spending 6 months creating a bunch of content for a course that you have not validated in the marketplace yet. And then if it flops and you have to, you know, rejig things, I mean, maybe you'll be able to just reposition the offer and still use some of that content, but like, let's just get it out into the world and test it first. It's the idea of using Kickstarter, but for launching courses, you know?
Yeah. We did the same thing with ours. We sold it, delivered it live, sold it again, delivered it live again, and then sold it and pre-recorded it before, you know, it's like, because you don't know. You might think you know, but you don't know until people actually buy the thing and they're like, yeah, that actually helped me get the result. You don't really know. And you can fool yourself and just say, I'm just going to make it more perfect. I'm going to sit here at the computer. I'm just going to refine it and polish it. And it's just like, it might be the wrong topic. It might be too big of a course. might be the wrong transformation that you're helping people to get. So yeah.
Yeah.
Second thing I wanted to ask you about is webinars. You mentioned that that's something that you do a lot of. What kind of framework do you have for that? And do you have issues with getting people to actually do it? Are people nervous about doing the webinar?
Definitely people get nervous. I think that is all wrapped up in that like lack of confidence. Haven't done it before, you know, don't have feeling nervous that it's not going to work. You know, until you've got some successful ones under your belt, it feels nerve-wracking, right? That you feel like you're going to put yourself out there. No one's going to show up. And I had a horrible first webinar experience myself. So I can totally relate.
Yeah.
But back to the question about the framework, we might shift this a bit here and there, but generally speaking, the framework we use is one where at the top of the webinar, very quickly, we're talking about like the transformation that's possible, showing some proof of that right up front so that people want to stick around and stay because it's clear you know what you're talking about. We don't go too deep into, you know, our whole soap opera story of our own lives. Like we're going to keep that pretty short and sweet because I feel
Where's the crying? Come on. You have to get people upset.
It's too much for me. So we keep that relatively short, like build the trust and credibility and connection, but we're not going to do it for 15 slides. And then we move into more of that like teaching component. And that can take a couple of different avenues. It might be really related to the methodology that someone maybe has developed to teach inside of their course. And it's in line with that. It might be like three myths or mistakes in the industry that people are making. And you can kind of shed light on that and talk about why those are mistakes and what the better approach might be, but not getting ever too deep in the how-tos, because it might get really overwhelming for your webinar participants if you're just going too deep too quickly in terms of the teaching material, and then moving into a pitch and making it really clear what the offer is and inviting people in. I think a lot of times webinars tend to get really overdone in the teaching component, and then people leave the pitch part for like the last 5 minutes because they feel nervous about asking for the sale. Mm-hmm. But really the people who are staying through to the end are the ones who are genuinely the most interested in joining, and they need to know that information. And so I think it's important to have a really comprehensive pitch section and stay on for questions afterwards. Like my webinars go way over time because I just hang out live with people and answer any questions that need to be answered. And I, you know, have a great conversion rate, I think, because of it.
Mm.
They see what it's like to really work with me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was doing a webinar for Empire Flippers the other day, and Nick, the host, he said to me, I want to be respectful of your time. I was just like, don't worry about that. If people have got questions, we're just going to hang out until all of the questions are answered. It's like, exactly. This is going to be fine. Don't worry.
Yeah. One interesting thing that I did in a launch actually just recently, I had done my traditional webinar. I tend to do it at the top end of a launch to kind of open the doors. But nearing the end of this launch, it was quite a long open cart period. It was about 2 weeks. And nearing the end, I decided that I still had lots of questions coming in via email and on Instagram. So I thought, let's just do an open house, like just going to open a Zoom room. It's going to be Q&A. I have no slide deck. I said, I'll take you on a behind the scenes tour of the program so you can really see what you get when you join. So I opened with that and did a screen share, but then just did Q&A. And I kind of thought like, I don't really know if anyone's going to come for this. That I invited people the day before. There was not some like juicy, you know, three things you're going to learn. Like there was nothing like that. It was a very basic invitation. I think we had not that many, I want to say like 40 people come, but you know, something like 15 of them ended up buying. Like the conversion rate was so great because it was such a simple way for those who were sitting on the fence throughout that launch to just get those last questions answered, or just to feel the, you know, that I was a real human with a good product that was going to help them achieve their goal. So there's just like an extra tip if you want to incorporate that into your launch.
Okay. If people want to learn more of your wisdom, where should they go? Tell them about your podcast, please.
Yeah. So I also have a show called The Course Creator Show, which you can find on any podcast streaming service. So I'd love for you to come on over there and take a listen. Even if you're a more experienced course creator, we've got some cool episodes and interviews over on the show that might be interesting for you. And then if you want to connect with me on Instagram, it's at gemma.bonhamcarter. And I think John is going to include in the show notes a link for a free training that I have. If you're interested in learning more about that founding launch methodology, the link will be in the show notes. We've got a free class.
Yeah. So it's at learn.gemmabonhamcarter.com/class, which I was giving Gemma shit about before this.
I promise one day it's been on my to-do list to buy a domain for that class. But for now, Gemma's, you have to type in my long name. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the Course Creator Show podcast, and that is, or just the Course Creator Show. Definitely worth going and checking out. And then free training as well about the stuff that we've covered today.
Yeah.
If you found this interview useful or you want to get future episodes, subscribe wherever you listened. And thanks so much for listening in today. And Gemma, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom with everybody.
Thanks for having me, John.